Off the Ball Breakfast.
Well, you're not supposed to pull someone's hair.
But they have long hair. So, like, it's more likely to be pulled. Like, if Camaloon had a skin fade yesterday, he wasn't getting his hair pulled.
So it's
grow your hair if you manage it. The little trenches you need.
The careful line of not blaming the victim here.
Yeah, a little bit of victim blame.
Why are you shoving his face?
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tabletsContains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligrams tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening, you're welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you till 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Alan Shipnook from 7:30. He has written a new biography about Rory McIlroy. We'll be asking him if he's got chapters in 2026 already finished, ready to add for an updated version for this time next year. We're also going to chat a little bit about LIV Golf with Alan from 7:30, because the Daily Telegraph have reported today that there is an emergency meeting happening in New York regarding all the major stakeholders in LIV Golf. So what does that mean for the future of the competition? Could it potentially be in tatters? Well, Alan Shipnook should have his finger on the pulse on that. From 8 o'clock, we've got Wednesday Night Rugby featuring Anna Capeless coming your way. And then after 9, we've got the football show featuring Dion Fanning. Of course, it is the second of the two quarterfinals tonight in the Champions League. Our number is 0879 180 180, and Dion, I'm very happy to say, is with us early. Dion, how are you doing?
Good, Owen. How are you?
Very well. And Arthur O'Dea is here for the news round as well. Arthur, how are things?
Smashing.
Let's go through tonight's team news straight away. I think Champions League is top of the agenda. So Arsenal versus Sporting. Arsenal 1-0 up after that Kai Havertz goal in Lisbon last Tuesday night. So tonight it's David Raya in goal, a back four of Mosquera, Saliba, Gabriel, Incapié. Four good centre backs there across the back. Then it's Zubimendi, Declan Rice, and Eze in midfield. Madueke on the right, Martinelli on the left, and Gyökeres up front. So Ebrecce Eze really the big news there, straight back into the starting team.
So rumours of Rice's demise were
gravely exaggerated.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I'd actually completely forgotten about that, that he was supposed to be laid up with an injury. Havertz is on the bench tonight, so that is very much an elected decision by Mikel Arteta to drop him and start Eze tonight. For Sporting, then, it's Rui Silva in goal, Araujo, Inacio, Diomande, Quaresma in their back line, Hjulmand and Morita behind Trincao in midfield, Gonsalves on the left, Catamo on the right, and Luis Suarez up front. Just to give you the Bayern and Real Madrid team news before we discuss tonight and tonight's fixtures, is Manuel Neuer in goal for Bayern Munich. It is Stanisic, Tah, Upamecano and Laimer across their backline, Kimmich and Pavlovic in midfield, Olise, Gnabry and Luis Diaz behind Harry Kane up front. And then for Real Madrid, it's Andre Lunin in goal behind Ferland Mendy, Rudiger, Militao, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Valverde and Bellingham in midfield, Arda Güler on the left, Brahim Diaz on the right, and Vinicius and Kylian Mbappe up front. Both of those games kicking off at 8 p.m. What are you more interested in tonight, Dion? The potential Arsenal collapse or the greatness that's going to come from the Allianz Stadium?
The Arsenal collapse, I'm getting this sort of pessimism from Arsenal supporters. You know, this sort of everything.
Got a keen eye.
This is, you know, that everything is going wrong. You know, this is not anything that Arsenal need to worry about. Like, they got the first leg result was a big result for them. And it kind of just speaks to that unbelievable anxiety that is kind of coursing through Arsenal, that a game like this with a first leg lead at home at the Emirates, and it's like there's this, oh God, I think Arsenal could lose this. Arsenal won't. Arsenal will go through tonight. Which means to answer your question, I'm much more interested in Bayern Real because it's a live game. I think, like, obviously if Sporting score and, you know, things look like they're unravelling, then, you know, there will be a temptation to watch.
Voyeuristically have a look across.
You might just be interested.
I might be interested in seeing just the, like, there is an extraordinary thing, like, you know, the scenes at and I don't, and we'll probably talk about Liverpool in the football show as well. I think there's too much weight put on what fans, the power fans have, and what they're doing in lots of ways. I think most of the power is with the team, and they affect the fans a lot more than the fans affect the players. So that's a qualification for saying, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, the way the Arsenal supporters, like, there was a fantastic shot watching the Bournemouth game on Saturday when the commentator said, those Arsenal fans, they've stuck it out to the very end over shots of them all leaving before the end.
There was only like 15 seconds.
It doesn't matter.
I did notice that as well. I was like, it's not quite the end. The final whistle hasn't...
Yeah,
really,
and they only needed, a point was... Like, this is the thing. The Arsenal are fine. They need...
A draw would have been a good result in the end.
A draw would have been a good result. But also a draw is a good result against Manchester City.
Like, yes.
And a draw is a good result. Just draw, like the draw tonight is also a good result.
I'm not helped by what I'm seeing on TV here. We've got Sky Sports News and I can just see Jamie O'Hara shouting at an Arsenal fan on Sky Sports News. The headline, are Arsenal feeling the heat in the title race?
He's an Arsenal fan. He should just say no to this appearance. Because he's there. You're just there to be shouted at.
Do you want to come on and join Jamie O'Hara in a reasoned discussion?
There was a sub-editor when Kelvin McKenzie, the terrible Kelvin McKenzie, was editor of The Sun, and his job was just to be shouted at. They called him the Sponge, and he would just be there for Kelvin McKenzie to roar at the desk. And like, this is what Arsenal fans are doing. Anytime they agree to any media appearance now, it's supposed to be told of their club and their own inadequacy. So like, just forget about it. Just duck them for a week.
Patrick's been in touch to say, as an Arsenal supporter, I'm dreading this week. As usual, the form in April looks like it's going to cost them more silverware.
More?
Well, the EFL Cup and the FA Cup.
The notional silverware, yeah.
Yeah. It is, obviously. It's a good point that you make about the potential for a draw on Sunday, but is that not the very thing that has held them back over the past couple of weeks?
It is.
The idea that, you know, you can sit back and allow this procession to happen.
It is.
Manchester City will win that game.
There's no doubt about that, but I would... at this point, are you going to say... We talked about this a lot. I don't like the way, like lots of people, I don't like the way Arsenal play. And I think it's kind of interesting when you consider even the commentary around the football, the season this year, now that we reach March and April, it's like people say, well, maybe, is it a really good idea to be taking 5 minutes to take a corner and 2 minutes to take a throw every time? Is that what you want? Because suddenly now you're seeing... the downside of it from Arsenal, because, you know, when things aren't going, like, everything seems spent against Bournemouth. Like, their corners were terrible. That had been kind of worked out. Bournemouth defended them brilliantly. So I don't know. But I, at the same time, can you change it now? Can you say, right, forget about all that. Just go out and enjoy yourselves. I don't think that's... what Mikel Arteta is going to do.
I doubt it very much. The most positive potential outcome is that they do end up winning one of the big two at the end of the season, and then there's a bit of evolution stylistically next season, because it's going to be limping over the line in the Premier League anyway if it does happen for them over the next seven games or six games. So it clearly has regressed. And also, we were having this conversation with Owen Doyle last night about the nervousness in the stadium, like even the throw-in situation. That really was that was a big part of like the stadium getting very exercised.
Throw-in situation.
And like, yeah, the throw-in crisis. That should be the block capitals on Sky Sports News, Arsenal's throw-in crisis.
Get a fan in to discuss that.
Like, it wasn't just feeding the anxiety in the stands. There was also kind of moments where Victor Gyökeres was getting visibly annoyed with Martin Zubimendi for not passing the ball forward, for example. So it's... Yeah, I do think that at this point it is a regressive thing, but it's way too late in the season to be doing an about turn on how they actually play the game. Just to put some meat in the bone of that story, then, as I mentioned, it is an 8 p.m. kickoff tonight in both of those games in the Champions League. We're going to hear a little bit from Mikel Arteta here, because he believes the side are going through a bumpy spell as they look to end their trophy drought. They've been eliminated, of course, from the FA Cup, while also losing the Carabao Cup final to Manchester City. Pep's side are also hot on their heels in the Premier League after a surprise defeat to Bournemouth on Saturday, and Arteta says his players know what a Champions League win would mean to the club.
Well, obviously it was a big disappointment and a hard one to take, especially losing at home when we had the opportunity to make that gap bigger and bring more certainty and get into this week in the best possible manner. But what we are trying to achieve is difficult, is challenging, is bumpy at times, and it's supposed to be like this. So you have to confront it. And what I basically said, guys, we are trying to do something, and in this competition that hasn't been done in the history of the club in 140 years. So that tells you the difficulty of that and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and then as mentioned, 15-time winners Real Madrid hoping to keep themselves in with a chance of winning another continental title. They're trailing German champions. Bayern won. Bayern Munich 2-1 ahead of their clash at the Allianz Arena. Like, is there a case to be made that this is more of a sure thing, just given how good Bayern looked last week? Now they bring Real Madrid back home. The form of that attacking unit from Bayern just looks so irresistible at the moment.
Possibly, yeah. No, I think they are. They are so good that you would think that. But I think there's just that element you don't know with either side to a degree. There's a certain thing, you know, that, you know, if Real get a goal, it could the game could change. And I just think there is just that potential for whilst, like, people suffer through the Arsenal games, there's this potential for just this. You just see the football that's played, and you saw it in the first leg, the game, the football that's been played, the pace of it, the way it's moving, and it kind of reminds you, or just underlines how poor the Premier League has been this year and where it's gone when you see what the way Bayern are playing, the way, you know, even Real are playing, and you see a game of that quality, and then you see what the English teams are doing.
Bayern PSG would be a very good semi-final. In a perverse way, would Atletico Arsenal not also be a magnificent semi-final on the other side of the draw?
It would be a good, it would be a great semi-final. It'll be you know, it'll be one of those games where, you know, both sides will be just giving the other team the ball and saying, "We don't want to know, you have it." But it'll
Atletico fans applauding how long Arsenal are taking over his throwing.
Yeah, take as long as you like, mate. but no, it would be a fascinating game.
Let's see how things develop. As I say, 8 o'clock kickoffs. Just to bring you some news closer to home, Bo's manager Alan Reynolds admits last Friday's loss to Sligo Rovers was disappointing, but he's backed his players to right their wrongs in a Dublin derby this Friday. So he was once again unable to attend the game at Derrymount Park, with the match marking the last of his 3-game suspension. He's going to be back in the dugout at Tallaght Stadium on Friday, where they face the defending champions and current league leaders Shamrock Rovers. He was speaking to Off the Ball's Daniel Pitcher, and he said that one loss won't define their form of the season.
Yeah, look, I mean, it has been, you know, but look, we're not going to get carried away. We were on a fantastic run. We've beaten once, we've drawn home. That's going to happen again during the season. Like, we're not going to win every game, but, you know, we don't get too carried away with the wins and not too down about the defeat. So the players have been fantastic. Let's be honest, we've been fantastic from the start. Have we come off a little bit? Yes. But I think it's just to regroup and, you know, tidy up in a few things, and let's get back at it.
Now then, Harry Maguire has been issued an additional one-match ban and a £30,000 fine following his red card against Bournemouth last month. He was ruled out of their loss to Leeds on Monday evening, and he was charged by the FA following an incident with Forth official Matthew Donoghue after he received his marching orders for a foul on Evan Eielson. According to the FA's report, after the VAR check was complete, Maguire, as he was leaving the field of play, approached Donoghue and shouted, "You're a joke." It was also claimed that he swore at the Forth official. However, Maguire argued that he made the comments out of frustration and that they weren't directed at Donoghue. And Maguire did face a possible 2-game ban. However, an independent regulatory commission took his comments on board. His disciplinary record was also taken into account, and it's now resulted in a 1-game suspension. It leaves Manchester United light in defensive options ahead of their crucial Premier League clash with Chelsea this weekend. Obviously, Lisandro Martinez is also suspended after that red card against Leeds, while Matthijs de Ligt remains sidelined with injury. It means Michael Carrick could be forced to play young centre-back pairing of Lenny Yarrow and Aidan Heaven at the weekend. So, all drama. Yarrow and Heaven should be okay? Should be an okay partnership?
Sure.
No,
sure.
You're not having that?
I don't know. I mean, Heaven hasn't played an awful lot since.
Yeah, he looks like a decent player. I think the thing with that game is, you know, what are you going to get from Chelsea? Like, United should be confident.
It'll kind of put probably more, I don't know if Mainoo will be back, if they have a bit more solidity even in front of them. You wouldn't fancy it if they have to have those two and then Ugarte in front of them as well. It'd be a disaster.
One other piece of football news today. Ipswich boss Kieran McKenna and former RB Leipzig manager Marco Rose are amongst those linked with replacing Andonaie Iraola at Bournemouth. The Spaniard confirmed he's leaving the club at the end of the season upon the expiry of his contract, and it's believed Rose is the front runner for the role. It's not yet known where Iraola himself could end up after announcing the news of his departure yesterday. Where's the likely home for Iraola? Like, is it his home? Is it going back to Athletic Club potentially?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Like, you know, it's like Bournemouth are such an exciting team to watch. And, you know, like this could be, like, there's going to be so much, you know, this summer, there's, you know, Manchester United are going to be looking for a manager. Liverpool are probably going to be looking for a manager. Chelsea might be looking for a manager. Arsenal could be looking for a manager. You know, it's, there's an awful lot of, there's an awful lot up in the air. I think Manchester United or Liverpool, like, I think Liverpool, if Liverpool were genuinely trying to kind of go back to the time, you know, the way of Jurgen Klopp, Iraola would be a very good choice because it's much closer to that style than, you know, whatever style Arne Slot plays.
Yeah, for sure. There's loads more still to come on tonight's newsround. Plenty of rugby, plenty of Gaelic games, and the latest on the Katie Taylor situation coming up after the break. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. Time for the cash machine.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage, 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Welcome back to Wednesday night's newsround. The number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch with us. We are moving on to the potential boxing card in Dublin this year, or potential boxing card. So the bid for Croke Park hosting Katie Taylor's final professional fight this September have suffered a significant setback. So the stadium's chief executive, Peter McKenna, suggested last week that the Bray Boxers fight could be joined by the proposed clash of Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. But Eddie Hearn, promoter of both Taylor and Joshua, has suggested that heavyweight bout is close to being agreed for a November date instead. So the Bray Boxer has long told of her desire to fight at the GAHQ before the curtains close in her career, an occasion which is inching ever closer. However, Hearn is set to meet with Croke Park executives this week, according to reports. He's part of a delegation meeting with stadium chiefs with hopes of a fight taking place around September of this year. So doesn't sound good. I felt that the Joshua Fury fight will be the way in which this fight for Katie Taylor at Croke Park could be unlocked. Part of the reason why I kind of thought that was that you could just charge people a hell of a lot more because it'll be a sellout no matter what, and therefore the issue of costs wouldn't be as much of an issue for matchroom boxing. But if you take that kind of world's appeal, the global appeal fight off the top of the bill, is it then harder to fill out Croke Park for Katie Taylor with premium price tickets, and therefore is your margin of profit much thinner? And I wonder if that's actually going to be the thing that allows this whole thing to fall down. Otherwise, you just like allow this all to happen in November in Croke Park, in the outdoors in Ireland, and just hedge your bets that it won't be a disaster.
But it would sell out anyway.
Katie Taylor?
Yeah.
It depends on the pricing of the tickets, I would suggest.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I my gut feeling would be the same as yours. I don't know if you, like, would you get 80,000? Is there I just don't know if the culture of it is there. Like, maybe people go if it's a big event.
But once if you hype it up and, like, yeah, you know, once people get into the idea that there's a big event taking place. Right. No, I take your point that, like, if it's, you know, well, maybe they should dynamic, it could be dynamic pricing with prices going down. For they always say this could happen with dynamic pricing. I've never seen it. But, you know, the prices might go down.
Yeah, like the sentimental appeal of it being Taylor's last fight should come close to filling out Croke Park. But it's less of a guarantee, I would say, than, you know, it being a co-main event with this heavyweight fight that the whole world has wanted to see for quite some time. Although the appeal in that is also waning by the month at this point. People would have wanted to see Joshua versus Fury last year, the year before. And I guess the further we edge into the year, the less people actually really want to see it. So let's see what happens. Turning to rugby then. And the Women's Six Nations, Ireland could have Sam Monaghan and Aveen Riley back in the fold as they look to pick up a first win of their campaign. The pair missed out on the opening round loss to England through injury, but have returned to training this week. Earlier today, kicking coach Gareth Steenson provided an update on the squad. He said that the squad's in good shape after the first round. They're due to face Italy this weekend, who also suffered defeat against France in their first game of the 2026 campaign. And the Irish camp were disappointed with the result at Twickenham. And Steenson said that some home truths were given to the players in the aftermath.
I do, yeah, I do, 100%. Like, it's like anything. This group is on a journey. We'll take positives that there is, but there is obviously work-ons. There's always going to be work-ons. No matter what game we play, there's going to be mistakes within it. And it's about the more experiences and the more opportunity the girls get to do this, they're only going to be better for every experience. And it's something that we're very keen to try and keep growing as we keep going. We're very aware that with the group that we have, there's some experienced girls in there, there's some, you know, coming in getting their first opportunities like you've seen last weekend, and it's about growing the whole squad and the competitiveness. Now we're starting to see really good competitive training sessions, and you know, going through selection this week hasn't been the easiest because of the competition's there, and that's what we want, and that's what we want to keep pushing.
Now then, in provincial rugby, Munster have confirmed that Roger Randall has been appointed as their new attack coach on a 2-year contract. He joins from New Zealand Super Rugby side the Chiefs, having previously worked there with Munster head coach Clayton McMillan between 2021 and 2025. He's going to take up the role this July after the end of the 2026 Super Rugby season. Now, one thing that hasn't overly been reported in connection with this story and with this news today, but which we as a show feel is pretty important to highlight, is that Roger Randall, when he was a Hurricanes player, was arrested and charged with rape in South Africa. It's important to say that he's always denied all allegations on this, but this goes back to April 1997 when the Hurricanes were playing in Durban. A 31-year-old woman from Durban made the allegation. However, the complainant withdrew the charges in May of that year. We asked the IRFU for comment. We asked Munster Rugby for comment on this story today. The IRFU and a spokesperson for them said this appointment was made by Munster Rugby and did not require IRFU approval. And then we asked Munster Rugby for comment, and they have said Munster Rugby is aware of a historical matter concerning newly appointed coach Roger Randall from 1997. At the time, no legal process was pursued and the matter was closed. Munster Rugby carried out due diligence during this recruitment process and are satisfied with the appointment, which has been ratified and approved. Now then on to Leinster Rugby. There's been an injury update with regards to they're set up ahead of the URC this weekend. I'm just going to get that up for you here in a second. Jordan Larmour, Scott Penny and Paddy McCarthy, the latest names to have their contract extended with Leinster. Penny is Leinster's latest centurion, having made his 100th appearance in blue against Glasgow just last month. Yesterday, Tommy O'Brien and Brian Deeney also penned new deals with Leinster, while it was announced that Ed Byrne would return from Cardiff on a short-term loan deal. So that is today's rugby news. Just to give you one last story on the Gaelic Games front, Dublin's Leinster senior hurling campaign has received a pretty big boost. Liam Rush's return to the Dublin panel has been confirmed ahead of the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship. The Na Fianna man had returned to training late in their National Hurling League campaign after nearly 4 years away from intercounty level. Rush was also part of the Na Fianna team that won the All-Ireland Club Hurling Championship under the current Dublin boss, Neil O'Callaghan, in 2025. And there's also a return for St. Oliver Plunkett Owen Ruaidh club man Cian Boland for the championship season. The All-Ireland Hurling Championship, the provincial championships getting up and running this weekend. Richie Hogan will be back with us in studio tomorrow evening to look ahead to that. Right, that is pretty much our lot for Wednesday night's news round. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you've got any opinions whatsoever, we'll especially take your Arsenal opinions between now and the end of the show. Are they going to bottle it tonight? Let's see. 32 minutes to kick off. Alan Chipnook talking Rory next.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.